In your State of the City address, how would you kind of condense into one sentence your feelings about 2011?
I'm pretty optimistic about 2011. I think we've been through two very difficult years, and I think you can almost feel it out in the city. Things are getting better. It's going to take a substantial amount of time, and government revenues, for example, lag all those. But I think the worst is behind us. Not that there won't be challenges in the future, but I'm optimistic about the future.
And speaking of challenges, I know that one of the subjects that came up recently was a study session that's going to be held regarding, I guess, state of the economy and jobs. What can government, business, and nonprofits do to improve the situation? And is it time for a local summit on the whole issue of business and jobs?
Yeah, I'm not sure, Antonio, what a local summit would do. I mean, this is not rocket science. If people are afraid, if there's fear, if there's uncertainty, businesses don't invest. So the single best thing that we can do in government is to try to provide a more certain situation. That includes even the regulatory process. Try to make things easier to facilitate business, to be able to get their permits, to be able to expand. And we've made strides in that. It used to be where Long Beach was a very difficult place to operate. It's gotten better. It's not 100%, not where we want it. But I recently had a business owner who opened a restaurant in the marketplace. He happened to open one 5 years ago, and he said to me the difference was night and day, that people were helping him, were trying to facilitate his business, and it was a dramatic turnaround. To the extent that we can make sure that we don't impose any additional requirements and restrictions that are unnecessary, we should do that. That we stay away from increasing fees and increasing taxes. Those are also dampers on business. On the other side, we have done a number of things. We've launched a small business registry. We give preference to Long Beach businesses and small businesses. We've instructed them on how to bid on city work. That's all occurred, and that's actually had some effect. And what we've done is to try to maximize the training dollars coming from the federal government so that we take those dollars, train people, but also have projects in which they can go into, which is why the project labor agreements at the port and at the airport are important, because we can now train young people. There's a requirement that there's a certain percentage of local hires in those, you know, projects, and we can feed our training programs into that so young people not only have the ability to get a job but a career. You know, these are basic things. There's very little, especially at local government, because we can't borrow money, we can't print money, we can't go out and give economic incentives. What you do is do what you can, which is to try to make it easier for people to do business here, easier to expand. And whatever training program we have, we try to match those with, we know, a place where they know there's going to be real jobs.
The other challenge, of course, is looking toward 2011, 2012 and the city's budget. How bad is it going to be?
Bad. It's going to be bad. I just tell you right now. There's no end in sight to the gap in revenues and expenditures. It's driven largely by a dampening of revenues, no doubt about it. But we have one big overhanging problem, and that's the cost of pensions. Now, this year, I've put a pension reform out there. I'm going to tell you that I'm going to do everything I can to get pension reform before I leave this office. I will make it my number one. It is my number one priority. It's at the point now where California's unfunded liability is $1.2 billion. Now, I don't want to scare people. That's not doable due right now. But the fact is, every year our pension obligations are increasing and the losses have to be made up. So it's costing us an extra $8, $9, $10, $12 million a year over the next several years. And we're not keeping even. We're actually, the liability is actually growing. We're not even reducing it. So, you know, you'll have those on the other side, particularly in labor, which will say, oh, we'll make it up in investments later on. You cannot make this up. You'd have to predict, you know, 15-18% returns for 8-10 years. That's not going to happen. And to be candid, even if you could predict that, we need to manage our pension system better. the benefits are not sustainable. They have to be changed. So, and employees are going to have to pay more of their pension costs. That's just the way it is. It's going to get to the point that if we do nothing in 2014, for every dollar we spend on a police salary or a firefighter salary, we will have to contribute 45 cents to the pension program and going up. That's for every dollar of salary, 45 cents. It's, you can't keep doing this. So the budget's going to be, you know, we're going to do all we can to maximize revenue, going to all can to reduce expenses. But the big expense we have to reduce is we have to get control of the pension system and dramatically reform it.
What can we do in terms of informing the citizenry better about this issue? Because there really is a lot of confusion out there about it.
I don't know if there's confusion. I mean, it's been chronicled in the press here. It's been in the statewide press. It's been on TV. It's part of my budget message. I think there is a – most people I run into are clearly in favor of reforming pensions. They hear the stories. I mean, look, you could take the extreme stories of Bell. We're not
right.
– I don't want to use Bell as an example, but it illustrated how bad these pensions are. You had a city manager in Bell making over $800,000 a year who's liable to get almost that amount in pension, assuming he doesn't go to jail, which I think he will. But, I mean, right. The fact is, had no one discovered this, I mean, think about that. I mean, and look, it's the extreme case, but – even in our own case, I don't know. Pensions originally were designed to supplement your retirement, not to be your retirement.
Right.
And, you know, we're retiring people at relatively young ages when we're living longer. So at 50 years old, get 90% of your salary, it's just not right. And the people out in the community know it's not right. They know it needs to be changed. And, look, I say this not begrudging anybody who works for the city. I don't care if you're in law enforcement or in firefighter or you're working parks or anywhere else. I appreciate the job they do. Fact is, this just can't – the system itself will collapse unless we change it. It's actually in everybody's interest to reform it. So I think we're going to do what we can. We're going to hold – we already held one pension workshop. We'll hold another one. And we're going to continue to put this out there that how serious this problem is. But I think most people understand it.
One other challenge that doesn't get a lot of attention, it's about youth and violence, and that there's violence still being committed by our children in many parts of the city. And recently, Chief McDonnell spoke of the need to look to non-policing preventive strategies and policies to handle the problem. What's your perspective on that challenge, and what can we do as individuals and as a city?
I think he's right. What we have to start, well, we're doing this. You know, I would argue, and you're going to see this in the next couple of weeks, you know, crime is down again in this city, and in some cases substantially down. Now, this has become a much safer city. Our police force is doing a fabulous job, but they're at, you know, this is sort of what they call the tip of the spear. They're at the symptoms of crime. Not they're not entirely reactive, but mostly reactive. But the sort of proactive things you can do, the after-school programs, the recreation programs, the education programs, all those things. And I would argue that we've funded those over the years, and I think that's a contributor to a lower crime rate. I don't think you could just say it's only good police work. It's fabulous police work. But we also start dealing with the causes of some of that crime. So, I mean, you know, you remember there was I'm old enough, there's an old Fram oil filter commercial about you can either pay the $10 for the oil filter or $1,500 for an engine rebuild.
Right.
It really is. And that's one of the reasons why in our budgeting, the city council and I have both said we do not want to go beyond 70% of the budget for public safety, because then you strip libraries, you strip recreation programs, you strip some of the education programs. That's just going to make us less safe in the future, and we don't want to just be what I would call an armed camp. That's not healthy for a city. You take all the other things, the quality of life things, and start reducing them. So I think those are the things you have to do more of and continue to do more of. But I think, by and large, we're doing a very good job. I mean, violence is down, and hopefully it continues to decline. I think it's, you know, we're never going to get to a state where people don't commit violent acts.
Right.
That's just the way things are in society. But it's certainly at a much lower level than it was 5 and 6 years ago.
Right. The last question I've got is, because we talk a lot about citizen involvement, and there's been a lot of great citizen involvement, very positive citizen involvement in neighborhood events, city council public hearings, and postings on the blogosphere, some of which we may wish that they weren't involved with. But it's still, when it comes to time for elections and voting, we still have a low voter turnout. Is there anything we can do to do a better
job? I hear this all the time. And look, I would love to have a greater voter turnout. But the truth is, you can look at it several ways. I remember when I was in school, they would argue that, you know, a low voter turnout means people are fairly satisfied. People come out when they have a reason to come out, when they're either they're unhappy, there's a real problem. You get an unusual event, for example, like Obama being on the ballot, first African-American potential president, now president. People get excited about those things. And I think that's important to remember. You know, people are busy. I mean, everybody's struggling to make a living. You got two-income households for the most part. It's tough out there. And to say to somebody, well, now you're going to – I know you're working, you know, both the husband and wife are working, or the head of the families are working, and they're raising children. They have obligations. And then to say now you're going to get involved in community activities, I'd love to see that, but it's not realistic. You know, I think we have excellent community and neighborhood involvement here. I'd love to see more. We've got pretty good involvement at the city council. The electoral turnouts are not good. They're around 20-some-odd percent in a citywide election. You'd love to see at least double that. But you can't make people do it. And you know, I guarantee you, if they were really excited and they were really upset about something, they would come out. So I think you have to take it as a gauge of a combination of things. People are very busy just living, just making a living, and it's particularly in these times. And secondly, you know, I think there's a certain level of content that things are run pretty well and they're fairly happy. But I think democracies require people to be engaged. But we live in an economic climate where it's very tough. And I think the more we kind of make little artificial constructs about, well, we'll try to do this and try to do that, I think, you know, this is a choice that people make. It is, I believe, a duty to vote, but it's also a privilege to vote. And people have the right to say, you know what, I'm okay. I don't feel I want to be engaged. I don't like it, but that's where it is.
Great. I want to thank you very much for taking the time speaking with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.